Welcome here to Superpowered Pop with DT and
EB,
hanging out with you inside the Superpowered Pop studios. You know where to listen, but we'll tell you just in case you forgot. SuperpoweredPop.com. That's SuperpoweredPop.com. You can also find us on SuperpoweredPop.podbean.com. So however you're doing it, just make sure that you're on those two places. You're getting ready to do it. There you go. So we, as you know, with Dan Tortora Broadcast Media, we are proudly working alongside Monster Energy.
Delicious!
And so we have it on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora. We've crossed it over into Superpowered Pop with DT and EB.
That's pretty tasty, man.
It's good, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So you're having the Mutant Super Soda Original Green, and I'm drinking my Ultra Red Zero Calorie, Zero Sugar Monster Can.
You know what's...
This is the only one they didn't have in Pennsylvania for the wedding.
The red?
Yeah, this is the only
ultra red there.
My favorite one.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to trying that. That's the sugar-free one. Zero sugar, okay.
Zero sugar, zero
I think
calories.
I'm going to save that for tomorrow. But
I'm
you know what's
right
funny,
now.
Though, is I'm drinking this here, and I haven't been drinking anything sugary in terms of sugar drinks. Like, I don't have any soda.
Yeah.
I don't have... everything I'm drinking is unsweetened iced tea.
Yeah.
This is fantastic, though. I got to admit, you know...
Describe the flavor.
It's
I'm You're drinking the Mutant Super Soda. By the way, folks, at CNY Pop Festival, the Mutant Sodas will be there for you for free. The Monster Energy team is going to be passing them out. And so the cool thing about it is we're going to have the Mutant Original flavor, the Red Dawn, and we're going to have the Zero... We're going to have the Zero Sugar White Lightning as well, so... And these are full bottles, folks. They don't pour you like a little taste. You're going to get full bottles of these three at the show.
And apparently Deadpool has got something tight under this label.
Yeah, there's a Deadpool surprise underneath the label as well. So describe your Mutant Original, so, the green one. What does it taste like for you?
I'm trying to think. I mean, it's got a very, like, I don't want to say surge or anything like that. I don't want to compare it.
I'm going to sip it.
Injustice. I think it's hard to say. It's really...
Oh, it's super limey.
Yeah, it's definitely...
I love lime.
But there's something else to it, too.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know. I mean, I don't want to compare it to other sodas.
It's got a hardcore lime base. Yeah. You can smell it when you're drinking it.
It's definitely very syrupy. And that's the one thing I noticed initially when I...
It's so good.
It's delicious, though. I love it. Yeah. I could drink sugary drinks all the time. I just haven't been. So I think that's why this is just like such a flavor punch in my face right now.
And by the way, folks, not only will all three mutants... be available to you for free from the Monster Energy team at CNY Pop Festival on Sunday, August 12th. If you buy a ticket, only if you buy a ticket, by going to CNYPopFestival.com. But the Mutant Red Dawn and the original flavor have a nice little message from the man they call Deadpool, which was a perfect fit for the CNY Pop Festival.
Perfect fit.
I'm excited.
I'm very excited.
It's funny, though, because we've started, you know, working together, Monster Energy and I, with Dan Tortora Broadcast Media. And, you know, obviously CNY Pop Festival, Wake Up Call, and all that good stuff. And so, great team over there. Shout out to Megan. And she said, well, what do you want to try? Because at this point, they have so many different opportunities. Like, there's so many different types of things that you can have. So she says, why don't you give it a try? Or she said, what do you want to start with? What do you want us to bring to the studio first? And she said, you know what? I should bring the mutants. Because if you're going to be bringing them to the show, I want you to have them, be able to talk about them. And I said, well, you know, I'm a big fan of Ultra Red. And she goes, well, yeah, we'll hook you up with that, too. So the Ultra Red is just for me. But I've gotten people that have come to the studio have been getting little surprises from, including yourself.
Well, I got to say, the font they got here, you know, it's got that Ninja Turtle green kind of color to it. But the font here looks very Ninja Turtle-esque as well. So Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle-esque.
Yeah, we get a little feel for it.
There. And then you got Deadpool, obviously the X-Men, you know, mutant, you know, characteristic there. I mean,
Well, I said what's a
very
festival
well
without
branded.
Mutants?
Yeah. Yes, yes. Very, very well branded.
Calling
here,
it the mutant.
It's a nice...
How about timing, though? If this deal with Disney and 20th Century Fox goes through, then Monster Mutant just so happens to be on full display at the CNY Pop Festival.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're going and buying your tickets on CNYPopFestival.com. You're getting ready for Sunday, August 12th. And then hopefully, maybe, possibly, we could get some good news. And then Monster has Mutant, and the Mutants are the X-Men. And if we all find out that Marvel has the Mutants now, then everybody's going to want their own Mutant from Monster as well. So we're in good shape.
Yes, we are.
I like
we
it.
We are. This is going to be awesome. It's
looking, I feel like you and I are very spoiled, though, because we get to do this show with all these tasty treats.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody's listening like, damn it!
Yeah. <they're> Well, come to the CMY Pop Festival and yeah. You can try it yourself.
Yeah, you can try any one of them. So the mutants will be available for you in full bottle. They don't do a little sampling. They don't do a little taste, little drip. No, they give you the full can, full bottle. That's how they do it. The mutants will be at... I love saying that. The mutants... We'll be at the CNY Pop Festival.
It's good stuff, man.
That's good. It's good awesome. So we're very excited. So we're here with Superpowered Pop with DT and
EB.
And we are here today to do what we always do in the beginning and the end. The bookends, rapid fire at the beginning. Then at the end, we're going to do For Your Amusement. And there's a very easy For Your Amusement. We're going to have to talk about how you and I are sitting here, like, itching our leg, kind of, like, twitching a little, having a little bit of a moment that we're not down at Toy Story Land.
Oh,
so
man, it's painful.
We'll discuss that. Yes. And in the middle, the bulk of this show, we're going to do a little bit of Han Solo, since I finally saw it.
Yep.
And then we're going to get into the movie that made me cry, Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom. Oh, I love it so much.
Yes, yes.
I got to go again. Why have I only gone once?
I don't know, because it's only been out a week.
It's not an excuse. So we're going to do what we do. So you know, folks, rapid fire. Then we're going to The Body, which changes every week. This week, Han Solo, Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom. And then at the end of the broadcast, For Your Amusement, where for your own amusement, you can listen to two grown men cry about not being in Disney right now.
Yes, yes. All right. Tune in. It's going to be interesting.
I'm going to let you roll with rapid fire first. So go ahead.
Ooh, boy. Okay. Well, we'll just... We'll keep it in theme with Jurassic World here. So
okay, I like it.
If let's see here. If we could do a mashup of Jurassic World with any other franchise,
yeah.
What franchise would you want to mash up Jurassic World with? I have one in my head, and I think it would be great. But let's hear yours.
Jurassic World with anything?
Anything. Just anything.
I have a few. Avatar.
Okay, Avatar. Okay.
Because that'd be cool.
Okay, break that down for me.
I'd love to see an Avatar riding on the back of... I'd love to see the Na'vi on the back of, like, a T-Rex.
A dinosaur? Like,
yeah.
They sync up with the T-Rex.
Yeah, they sync up with the T-Rex. And then...
That'd be pretty intense.
And then somehow Disney would have Pandora, but they wouldn't have Jurassic Park, but they could strike a deal so that Flight of Passage could turn into a dinosaur thing.
Okay.
So that's cool. Or just make a second one, because I like the Banshees. So that would be one. Two, I would say, I don't know, it's the first thing that came to my mind, because of the Dinobots, Transformers.
Okay.
I don't know, I think it'd be cool.
It'd be interesting, yeah.
I think it would be cool because the Dinobots decided to look that way because of the dinosaurs that were around at the time. So I think it'd be cool to kind of, you know, see if they went up against each other.
Okay.
So that would be another one. Jersey Shore.
Oh, my God.
And Jurassic World. Because I have this weird suspicion that Snooki's kind of like Jack-Jack from The Incredibles, and she has a lot of powers we don't know about.
Okay.
And that, you know, we would think the dinosaurs would simply eat her, but I don't know if they would. Although they do like meatballs, and she says she has one. So that's my joke one. I'm trying to think. I got to get one more in here. Jurassic World... And I got like a side note thing, so I don't know. I guess I'll hang there. I'll hang with those. What do you got?
So what do we call it? When they have the subtitle of the movie.
Oh, like, I know, like, what you want.
What
yeah.
do they have? What do they have? It's yeah. So obviously this one was
the closed
Fallen
caption.
Kingdom. Yeah. No, not subtitles, but this was Jurassic World Fallen yeah. Kingdom. So what's this?
It was like
subtitle?
It was like the working title.
When they have the alternate title to the main title, what's that called?
Yeah.
It's terrible.
I think you could say subtitle.
Well, maybe it's called a subtitle. But nonetheless, I think the next Jurassic World should be Jurassic World, Not the Mama. And they should mash it up with dinosaurs from ABC.
Oh, that'd be awesome. And then you could find out who the mom really is.
Yes, yes. That would be great.
That would be awesome.
Tell me that.
I was going to say Land of the Lost. And there's
Land of the Lost is good, though, yeah.
There's two of them. And I'm going to... And I didn't even tell you this. I'm not going to tell people where I went. I don't want them to know my secrets.
Okay.
But I went somewhere in Syracuse, New York, and I was looking at some old-time VHS tapes.
Okay.
And I found, and I have been looking for this thing since I was a child that used to watch it on television. And it's not
It's not the new Land of the Lost.
It's not the new Land of the Lost.
It's the old one that... Wasn't it on Nickelodeon, or what channel was it on?
There's multiple ones, okay? So there's Land of the Lost from 1974. It's not that one.
I just remember the one from, was the 90s, where they had the Jeep, and it falls into the the cavern that they're driving.
Yeah, it's Land of the Lost. It was in 1991.
Yeah.
So it's not 1974. It's not the movie with Will Ferrell. It's 1991. Okay, there's only two seasons of the show, but I found a VHS tape that had two episodes and the little tiny dinosaur, and I think I have an action figure of it. And then they have the he kind of looks like, it's not a gorilla. He kind of almost looks like Bigfoot.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a he or she. I'm not. But when I was a little kid, I used to watch this show, and I loved this show. So I found a tape with two episodes, and now I'm on the hunt for the rest of them.
Gonna collect those series.
So, Land of the Lost, Jurassic World would be cool.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, I could see that. Yep.
All right. So it's back to you because we asked each other the same.
Okay.
The Porter family. Can I just read this really quick?
Sure.
The Porter family, Tom, Kevin, and Annie, get sucked into a prehistoric alternative world while taking a family vacation. The Porters build a treehouse, hook up with a few locals, who, oh my God, I remember, Orphan and extra smart dinosaur Stink. Yes, a monkey man. And Krista, I remember Krista because she was like the heart. She was like the good-looking lady. Another human who has lived in the Land of the Lost since she was a little girl. The Porters must deal with living with dinosaurs and avoiding the evil advanced Sleestaks. If I could ever drop into any parallel universe, it would be Land of the Lost.
I vaguely remember the show. I mean, I remember it.
Or Jurassic Park.
Yeah. I just remember the intro.
Yeah.
And then, like, it was that first episode, and then they took everything from the first episode.
Land of the Lost.
Yeah, and then they dropped everything in the first episode, and I guess that was probably the formula for TV shows of the 90s, where they take everything from the first episode, and they build it into their intro of every show. But, yeah, I just remember the Jeep driving, and all of a sudden it goes down into, like, there's a big hole in the ground. The ground starts to break. There's an earthquake.
Yeah.
And they drive in, and then they drive out on the other end, and they're in the Land of the Lost. And
can we discuss the fact that before Jurassic Park came out, Land of the Lost and dinosaurs, I mean, when you put these things together, like, okay. So we look at, I want to go to dinosaurs for a second.
Oh, boy, here we go.
I'm going to go to dinosaurs for a second. Oh, not the mama. There he is. So Dinosaurs comes out in 1991. Land of the Lost comes out in 1991. They're both on ABC.
Maybe Dinosaurs is, like, going to be the future of the Jurassic World franchise.
That they're just going to become humans?
Maybe they become more... Yeah, maybe they become more humanoid now. And that's, like, where they're going to go here in the future of Jurassic World here in Dinosaurs. It's
going to
turn into a comedy.
It's going to be so... Well, this is the thing that I love so much.
It's going to be like Planet of the Apes, but it's going to be with dinosaurs.
See, but I love it, because you can say what you want to say, Jurassic Park people, but Dinosaurs came out in 1991, Land of the Lost came out in 1991, so I'm just saying that maybe these Jurassic Park creators got somewhat of an inspiration.
Creative inspiration.
Yeah, I think so. Let me do this really quick here, because I gotta make this happen. So we got to get the Land of the Lost. Got to get this up for everybody. That's why I didn't like when Will Ferrell remade it, because it wasn't the same. So here it is. Oh my God, here it is.
Yep. Driving the Jeep right in. The triple moons.
Oh, and the pterodactyl.
Oh my goodness.
We had such an amazing childhood.
The 90s were great, weren't they?
I feel like life is so different now. And then, of course, we have this. No words for the dinosaurs in the truck.
It's a slithering tail.
Yeah. You think that he's like this monstrous thing. Here it is.
Honey, I'm home!
So maybe that's how it's going to start. Like Jurassic Park has that menacing music, and then maybe it'll start moving to dun 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 dun. So,
Uncle Roy.
Yeah.
Why are your arms so small?
Da! I loved it. He was like Raymond from Everybody Loves Raymond. It was so good.
Some parallels there, certainly.
Sinclair. It was so good. And Dinosaurs was around for 4 seasons. By the way, I am convinced that they made this off of Family Matters because we had Carl Winslow and then we had Earl Sinclair.
Very, very close in terms of...
Yeah, and the way he would come home from work.
Their overall...
Very similar.
Demeanor.
So good. We were so spoiled as children. So I'm going to... Okay, here we go. So here's... So what was your second question for me? You didn't have one yet.
I don't think I asked you one yet.
Okay, go ahead.
So second question. What was your favorite dinosaur from Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom?
Fallen Kingdom. Mm-hmm. This is tough. Well, no, it's not. Okay, because the battering ram, and I know that it has another crazy name, but I like referring to it as the battering ram. It was a great scene in the movie. Multiple scenes in the movie. But my favorite is Blue.
Blue?
By far, Blue.
Hands down?
Blue, I've decided, is the one thing where if there's like a $170 statue of Blue,
you would
that I'll be like, hey, Kate, I'm going to buy a statue of Blue. And she'd be like, all right, we're going to put it. Then I'd be like, in the studio. Then I'd be like, hey, Kate, there's a $500 statue of Blue that moves. She'd be like, it's a little high. What are you going to do with it? I'd be like, I'm going to put that in my room, too. And then she'd be like, hey, babe, Lily is terrified of it. And I'd be like, okay, well, I'll put it in my closet and keep it forever and kiss it goodnight. But, Blue by far, there's, I've always been a Raptor fan in sports and out of sports. I just love the Raptor dinosaur, the Velociraptor, and I don't know. I've always been a fan of the Raptor. They terrified me when I was a little kid. But I have this crazy notion that someday I will be in a Jurassic Park or World movie riding on top of a Velociraptor. And now that I know Chris Pratt can talk with them and create this relationship, if I get to work with Chris Pratt, there's a really good opportunity that I'll ride on Blue or another one.
Well, I think you're not going to necessarily ride on top of a Velociraptor in the future of the Jurassic World franchise. I think what you're more likely going to do is probably end up voicing them in the dinosaur Jurassic World hybrid movie that comes out in the future. So you'll be voicing the next Raptor.
He'll be like, "Come, come." And he'd be,
did you just sneeze? God bless you.
I've already started it.
Yeah.
It's already a show. And there's already comedic timing, we hope. So my question for you is, what was your favorite dinosaur from Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom?
I'd have to fall right in line with Owen and yourself. And there's something about Blue. You just kind of fall for that dinosaur.
She's the best.
Yeah. I mean, she was amazing in the first Jurassic World. And... you know, you really kind of get invested in that character now.
Yeah.
And she's really a character. I mean, she's more than just another dinosaur. I mean, she is a character to this movie franchise now.
And she is showing the connection and the intelligence that raptors can have to create. And FYI, for those that forgot, Charlie, Delta, Echo, and Blue were the originals. Still one of the saddest scenes from Jurassic World is when one of them is looking at him and kind of turns his head and gets blown up in that moment.
Yep.
And he's just like, what is going on? So, but yeah, we miss you, Charlie, Delta, and Echo. Blue, you're a girl.
Yep.
You know? You have a dog named Blue.
I would say you're my boy, Blue, from...
And I would say...
You know what that's from? You're my boy, Blue?
You're my boy, Blue?
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
I do know where that's from.
What movie is that from?
It is from, wait for it, Old School.
Yep.
I knew it.
Yeah, there you go.
I knew it.
There you go.
You're my boy, Blue. And
that's what I always say to him.
So, yeah, I just, something about Blue. Gotta love Blue. Okay, yep. What's your question? What is number three for you?
Number three. Let's see here.
Dun, 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 dun.
Let's see here. So, if they would make a roller coaster off of any Incredibles character, who would it be and why?
A roller coaster?
Disney Incredibles.
Yeah.
and they make a roller coaster themed off any character.
It won't be Jack-Jack.
I can tell you who I think it is. You want to hear mine first before you answer? I think Frozone would be awesome.
I think Frozone would be pretty cool and pretty neat because they could make it by Everest.
Yeah. They could put it right in Animal Kingdom. That would be interesting.
Yeah, I would like Frozone.
But you just see him, like, you could see, like, Frozone. Like, I could see a model of him on the front of the roller coaster.
Oh, yeah.
Just blasting ice, and you're just following him the whole way through.
Yeah, I think it'd be really cool. Or they could even make it, like, a 4D adventure when you're going through it.
That would be cool, too, yeah.
So I'll pick another one. I'm going to say, if I had to kind of go a different way, they won't do one with Jack-Jack, in my opinion, because the ride would be schizophrenic.
Okay.
Like, Jack-Jack has many... I think the cool thing about Jack-Jack is we have no idea how many powers Jack-Jack has. We just know he has a lot.
Well, what if they have different cars themed around each character?
That'd be really cool.
Because, you know, you get in the car and one of them might be, like, extra, like, fast and, like...
Yeah.
And it could be, like, Mr. Incredible. And you get one that's kind of, like, Slinky Dog Dash style. And it's Mrs. Incredible, and it likes...
Yeah.
It like
I'm going to tell you, I think the one that they'll make, and they'll make it a fast one, they'll put it in Hollywood Studios, is for Dash.
Dash?
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
That'd be really cool.
Then, because he's like their answer to the Flash.
Yes. Yes, he is. He's Disney's Flash.
Disney's Flash as a little kid, and because they made him young, they can utilize that forever.
And I'm sorry, I forget the daughter's name. I can't remember.
Violet.
Violet. What if the car you're on was like transparent? Wouldn't that be crazy?
Really cool. That'd be nuts. What if they put you at the top of Animal Kingdom?
They could probably do that in like a virtual reality style like roller coaster.
Oh, yeah. And make the car invisible. Like you're dropping and reappearing.
Yeah, yeah.
Or like you're in the middle of like this fight and they're like shooting at you or stuff's going on and then you disappear and then you reappear. That'd be nuts. So I like that question. If, I know there's a Jurassic Park in Universal Studios, but if they were to make a new Jurassic themed ride, what would you like it to be? What type of ride would you like it to be, and what would you like to see in it?
Disney or...
Anybody.
Anybody. So anybody do anything that's just dinosaur-themed, basically.
Well, anything that's around the characters of Jurassic World.
Okay.
Because we know that Jurassic Park is at Universal Studios, but we're talking about a new...
Something new updated. And cutting edge. Well, I'm thinking, like, now that we've seen, you know, something similar to, you know, obviously we have Soarin'.
Yeah.
We now have Flight of Passage, which are on a Banshee. I feel like they could do something dinosaur-themed that's almost like pterodactyl-esque.
Okay.
And it would be very Flight of
Passage-esque.
Yeah. I think that's like, seems to make the most sense to me, something of that sort in terms of dinosaurs. But then again, at the same time, I'm kind of torn now that I think about it because it's like, I don't want that style of a ride to become redundant. Because I love Flight of Passage.
So, I'm waiting for the day that there's an animatronic pterodactyl that I can fly above Animal Kingdom and be like, hey, Mom! And her being like, you're about 300 feet in the air.
Yep.
Gonna need you to come down. Because my mom, even though I'm 32, she'd be like,
Yeah, yeah.
I'd be like, Mom, this is so much fun! Get on it! Like I do with all the rides with my mom.
And then she'd be like,
hey, Dan, is this a thrilling ride? No. Is this ride gonna go up and down? Nope. I'm getting my mom on Everest. It's going to happen.
Well, let me know how that goes for you, because I have a feeling you're probably going to lose an arm on that ride.
I probably will. I think it's worth getting punched in the arm, maybe. My mom is not an abusive person. I want to preface with that. She's just very funny. And when she gets on rides and thinks that they're a certain way and they're not...
She gets frightened.
She has good reactions.
So she's a little frightened, a little startled, and she just wants to rip your arm off because you talked her into going on the ride.
There's a good chance that might happen.
I don't think that's illegal if you rip somebody's arm off after they talk to you.
I will tell you, I saw somebody grab their child in public a certain way. Kid didn't even do anything. She's like, if my son ever, and she's like, bam, on his arm. She hits his arm and grabs it at the same time, and she goes, this is what I'll do. And I was like, he didn't even do anything. Yeah. And I was like, by the way, we were in church.
I don't mean to laugh, but that's messed up.
We were in church. And I was like, well, I'd love to tell you that God didn't see that, but he sees everything, and you just came to his house to do that. It's like, hey, man, want to know what I do to my kids at home? And she, I mean, the way that she hit him, I was like, damn, this woman is ballsy.
You guys should have seen Dan, like, reenacting that. It was actually kind of comical.
I didn't want to hurt you.
The idea of...
The way she hit him was, like,
The idea of seeing a mother do that to their son out in public would be...
He didn't even do anything, though.
Would be awful.
Not that you should ever punch your child in the shoulder, that...
But the way that you just reenacted it, I don't want to hurt you.
I don't want to hurt you. I don't. So, what is your fourth question for me?
Oh, boy.
We have five each in rapid fire. We have two more apiece.
Oh, what are your thoughts?
And by the way, folks, you can send your rapid fires to us as well if you have any thoughts.
You know, we should do that sometime. Why don't we do like a Facebook like rapid fire where people can submit some questions and we just
or we can show people how we do it. We can do a video on Facebook of you and I asking each other random questions live on the fly and then being like, if you want to do this to us, then you can feel free.
Okay. You know? Yeah, let's try that.
They'd be like, how many people did you sleep with before your wife?
And I'm yikes.
Like, that was my Cleveland.
That was a good Cleveland.
Yeah. Sometimes Cleveland just pops out. I don't know. Ha! So I don't know where he comes from. It just happens.
Okay, so speaking of doing other voices, what voice do you wish you could do? Like, is there one voice out there that you're like, man, I just can't get it. I wish I could do that voice.
De Niro. I've never good like really gotten De Niro down. I haven't... practice with it a lot, but yeah, De Niro would be fun.
Okay,
so I like De Niro.
How many hours a week do you practice your voices, or just all off the cuff when you're just
doing
the show?
There's certain default voices that I'll always go to if I'm describing something, or if I'm or if I'm making Kate laugh. But there's Venom, Mickey, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Bernie Sanders, Dick Vitale, Donald Trump, Kim Jong Un. The Hulk. God, I love doing the Hulk. That's my new one.
Why you don't give me no Snicker?
I love the Hulk. Batman. Some reporters. What else? I like to do, you know, because I'm Hispanic, I'll do like the crazy Hispanic aunt. You know, oh, you just jealous. Mira, look at me. Like, no. TT, I don't want to see that. I'm a little kid. Like how George Lopez would be, man, you just jealous. Look at me. Watch out. So I like that George does that. I would say Joe Pesci.
How's your BB-8?
Oh, I like my BB-8. I got to think about it for a sec, though. I'm like, rawr, rawr, rawr. So, yeah, I do that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I do that with Kate because I have the BB-8, the one that like kind of rolls around and does his own thing. So... yeah, I mean, but it's almost like a little bit like Yoshi when you start doing it. What are the other ones? There's another one. Stitch.
Yep, Stitch. Elmo. Your Stitch and Mickey Mouse are just on point.
My Stitch is insane.
Your Stitch is really
like
good.
In the sense of like I make him like the Kim Jong Un version of like a an alien character.
Yeah,
he's over the top.
But Lilo and Stitch is like hands down one of my favorite Disney movies.
Yeah,
and I didn't actually develop that love for that movie until after my son was born because he just got infatuated with that movie.
Yeah,
I love it now.
There's something with like this generation of kids.
But I've watched that movie probably somewhere in the neighborhood of at least 60 or 70 times in the last 3 years.
That's
how much he loves it.
Yeah,
and I'm not kidding when I say your Stitch is absolutely on point.
That's funny because
just do it. Just give us a Stitch.
I was in the studio one day and I was doing a commercial break and Kate was like. And because I was doing my sports show, she's like, I really hope that one day it's on the air. Because she walked by. She's like going to the bathroom or something. So, you know, like I'm in the studio, whatever. She's walking by. And because my wife's super supportive and whatnot, so she's always by my side. So we're doing this thing, and I'm on break. And out of nowhere, because it's just like in my head, I'll just do it.
Right.
And so I'll go, blur, pun sparky. Yeah. And then I always, like, I want to go up to Dino Babers and go, Ohana means family. Because he always says Ohana.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Welcome to Stitch Kingdom. So, yeah, I have fun with that.
It's perfect. It's perfect.
He's nuts, but I love it. So, yeah, I like doing impressions. So I guess it would be De Niro.
Okay, De Niro.
De Niro.
Okay. What's yours?
Let me think. If you could be any Star Wars villain of their movie history, who would you be and why?
Star Wars villain mm-hmm. of the cinematic movie history. Let's see here. You know what? I always like Boba Fett.
Okay.
I think just there's something about him just, you know, being that, you know, bounty hunter. And he seems to have experienced a lot as a bounty hunter. got to see the universe. Looks like he traveled a lot.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's a staple.
He's rugged.
He's a staple to the world of Star Wars, in the not only in the fact of the clones, but also in the, you know, obviously I know Jango was a clone made from Jango Fett, correct, if I'm not mistaken. But, you know, he just, I think that's the one character.
You want to be him.
Yeah, if I could be anyone, I think Boba would be the guy.
Okay. That's what's your final one for me?
Final question. Well, I'll just turn it to you.
Mine's very easy. Are you asking me the same one?
No.
Okay. I was gonna say, if you're asking me, villain.
Good guy that's not a bot or a droid, I should say.
BB for sure. If I could have picked
that, not a droid.
Jar Jar Binks. No. Oh, I would do that.
Head explodes.
And I would do that. Listen, Jar Jar. So, Lisa don't like math. So yeah, man, yeah. Jar Jar. No. Favorite good guy that's not a bot or a droid. I'd probably say my dude Luke Skywalker. I'd have to be Luke.
You're a big fan of Luke.
I am a big fan of Luke. Okay. I do, and I like the way he came back because they did him right. People are so nasty.
I like Luke more in the latest installments than I did in the original series.
Yeah. I like that he's rugged. Yeah. But he reminds me of Mark Dodson, who worked on Star Wars too. But Mark Dodson was doing like Salacious Crumb, like he was on the other side.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's the way that like Mark Dodson looks, you know, it's just that look of like, you know, I've been through some stuff in life. It's made me strong. Like, I just think it's cool.
Yeah.
I'm giving a shout out to Mark Dodson because he's a friend of mine. I like him.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would be Luke Skywalker.
Okay.
I'd probably have to be Luke. Yeah, because not Han. I don't have the personality. Or I'd be Chewbacca.
Chewie.
I'd be Chewie.
Chewie's fun. Only because he can do a great Chewie.
I would be Chewie. So my final question for you in this edition of Rapid Fire is, what, if anything, if you could create the story for Jurassic World 3, what would it be and why?
I think we could have mutated dinosaurs at this point.
Okay.
Because they've done so much with the genetic.
I mean, like, if this is the thing that we haven't seen,
they're genetically enhanced
dinosaurs.
Right.
But can they get involved in, as Sheldon calls it, coitus and reproduce? Do they have the ability? We've never seen that, have we?
Well, didn't they show that?
There were velociraptor eggs. Never mind.
Didn't they? One of the movies, I can't remember, wasn't there a point where they asexually reproduced? In one of the Jurassic Park movies?
Well, some of the, like, these Indoraptors they and all mutated stuff, like, what can you do?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I know a lot of these, but a lot of them have obviously been genetically enhanced, too. So, it's like they say, life finds a way. But no,
will find a way.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like as the franchise continues to move forward here, I feel like there's going to be a point where they actually... There's got to be some sort of mutation or something that happens.
Well, how about their nod to the fact that when they were thinking about doing Jurassic World or Jurassic Park 4, and they had like the print, and it was like the 4, it was like a claw, the talon, and it was supposed to be the 4, and everybody was like, what's it going to be? What's it going to look like? And this and that. And there was all this skepticism about, oh, man. And then they're like, well, it's going to be a movie, and this big rumor came out that they're going to equip dinosaurs with weapons, right? They're going to weaponize dinosaurs. The irony of all this is that in Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, they did weaponize dinosaurs, but not the way that you think. But the Indoraptor was a weaponized dinosaur.
Yeah.
And the Indominus Rex was supposed to be along that line as well. You know, they wanted to create something big, bad, and crazy, but the Indoraptor was, we can train this thing to do what we want it to do. It will attack what we want it to attack.
Yep.
But the one thing I realized about the Indoraptor, unlike the T-Rex, who seems to take a break, or raptors who sometimes will take a break, the Indoraptor was always hungry.
Yep. It was nonstop.
Like, wanted to eat everybody at all times.
Yep.
So, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. But yeah, I like that. I like mutated dinosaurs. It'll be cool to see what's going to happen from here as far as, you know, with some of the things that have happened in the movie. But I'm not going to say anything right now.
Because we're going to talk about it shortly.
Because when we come back from breaking news, because we heard something's going on out there. When we come back from outside the studio, we will discuss Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. And we want to let you know that spoilers do approach you. They are coming, okay? They are like a velociraptor. But unlike them, who would sneak up behind you, you see the tail, and you don't have enough time to react, we will let you know right now that if you haven't seen the movie, now is the time to click save or download on superpowerpop.podbean.com or on superpowerpop.com to bookmark, download, and save. And after you see the movie, to listen in. Because we don't want to ruin the movie for you, but we want to talk about it. So we're gonna follow us back if you've seen it. If you haven't, then just download us and save it. And save it for a rainy day, a sunny day, or whatever day. But just make sure it's the day after you watch Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom. We'll be back in just a moment.
Hey, this is Frank Albertine, the owner of The Fourth Wall, 41 New Hartford Shopping Center, New Hartford, New York. The phone number is 315-922-7770. I kind of recognized a lot of the things that I see in myself, drive and passion. You have to have those two things to move through life. And, you know, I've always been able to be a good judge of character, judging, you know, people that are like-minded and people that want to get things done and want things to go a certain way, their way for the most part, you know, and I have always been able to recognize that in other people. And I see what you're doing here with Superpowered Pop, and I see what you're doing with everything about your life and everything that you've kind of talked about with me and everything with your show and all your current stuff that's great that you're doing, and I really wanted to be a part of it.
Here to another edition of Breaking News! We are here on location inside of the jungle. We can't say what island we're on. Most of them have been destroyed, spoiler alert, that had the dinosaurs on it. But now that they're running rampant, we can't tell where we are. We're at an undisclosed location, and I have the opportunity of interviewing Superpowered Pop's own Dan Tortora about how he's been training raptors himself. Dan, nice to finally get to talk to you here on this island.
Yeah, man, it's been awesome. You know, it's been pretty great. You know, I appreciate it. You know, we've been doing a lot of good work here, and we're excited about what's to come.
So, tell us exactly what's going on. I mean, we've seen people train velociraptors. Obviously, we've seen it inside of Jurassic World.
Yeah, but nobody does it like I do. I mean, nobody's training raptors like I'm training raptors out here.
Really? Well, tell us what you're doing different.
Well, honestly, it's just how you talk to them. I mean, it's just how you...
Dan, it seems like there's a raptor that is running right our way.
No, you know, they're just playing around. They're just having a lot of... Oh, mother... Welcome back here to Superpower Pop with DT and
EB.
Oh my goodness, it's time to talk about Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. And if you have not seen the movie, where have you been? But it's okay. It's all right. I just need you to download it, save it, bookmark it, keep it. Superpoweredpop.podbean.com, superpoweredpop.com episode archive. Save it. Because right now, we're gonna give you some spoilers, okay? We got to talk about the movie. So I'm going to have Eric count us down. Go ahead.
Five.
Uh-oh.
Four.
Uh-oh.
Three.
We didn't even start at 10.
Two.
Uh-oh.
One.
I'm very proud of you.
Why is that?
Some people don't know it comes after five.
Oh.
But you do.
I'm glad you have that confidence in me to count down from five. I didn't want to count down from 10 because I was sure I might have missed one at that point.
10, 9, 8, 7, 5. Damn it!
I didn't want to start over, you know? I just figured I'd make it easy.
It's all good. So, we're now going to talk about what happened in the movie. So if you haven't seen it, oh my gosh, you can't cover your eyes because that does nothing. Cover your ears. You got to save us. Download it. Keep it. Superpoweredpop.podbean.com. We appreciate you listening in. We love you much. And now it's time for us to talk about Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. Well, I'm going to open up like we always do with a broad approach. What were your initial reactions? You saw it with wife.
Yes.
I saw it with wife.
Yes.
You like. I like. Wife, your wife like, but not as much. My wife same.
So I think I'm with both of our wives. I mean, I enjoyed the movie, but for me, overall, it kind of
fell off the overall premise that, I mean, I have a problem with the movie not being on the island the whole time.
Okay, yeah.
So it fell out of the...
It was like on the island for like 15 minutes.
I don't know if it was 15. It might have been a half hour.
It wasn't like The Lost World where it's like, at the end of the movie, look, we're in San Diego.
Yeah.
It was like, hey guys, you know all the stuff we showed you in the previews? 99% of that was in
the trailer.
Is in this little tiny half hour, and then we're not here anymore.
Yeah. So, I mean, I still enjoyed the movie.
Did you think that most of it would take place in Bruce Wayne's mansion?
I know, it's crazy. It was literally his mansion. I was waiting for the Joker to pop out.
Yeah, it'd be awesome. Or to see some type of, you know, the Dick Grayson, the Robin thing.
Killer Croc comes out of the wall and like starts beating up one of the dinosaurs.
That'd be awesome. Or the Scarecrow. Yeah. I'd love to see the Scarecrow. Or Danny DeVito pops in, just like the penguin. And like the Indoraptor's chasing him and he's trying to waddle away. That'd be great.
No, Danny DeVito with his penguin teeth. He bites the Indoraptor's arm.
That'd be awesome. Or Catwoman as Michelle Pfeiffer. How about this? In a random part outside everything, as the Indoraptor's attacking people, off in the bushes, there's Halle Berry Catwoman and Michelle Pfeiffer. And Michelle Pfeiffer's Catwoman does what everybody has hoped this entire time. Kills off the other version of Catwoman. And... in the meantime, kills off Anne Hathaway's Catwoman, too, let everybody know that it's just the Fife.
Yep.
Michelle Pfeiffer had the best costume. She was the best Catwoman.
Oh, hands down. Hands down.
Wow. You know? Wow.
I liked Anne Hathaway, though. She was good.
She was okay.
Yeah.
You know, if Catwoman had goggles.
Well, I mean, the costumes aside, you know?
Bane was my favorite.
You like Bane?
Batman.
Oh, Mr. Wayne.
Oh, I'm Batman. I can't breathe. Can you get off my chest, please? Batman, did you know that the woman who slept with you is actually my lover?
It's just, I really wish that they would let me play Bane. Even for just like one, like Killing Joke is awful. Like I have that. It's a cartoon and it's so dark. I want to be like the comic relief Bane.
Well, I don't understand why Bane couldn't have been a little bit more comedic anyways. Because, I mean, he's already demented and dark to a certain extent. Why not just take it there? It would have been hilarious. It would have got everybody in the theater completely off guard.
This is what I would love it if like all of a sudden like he goes to talk and you hear... T Pain on the mic, and then he's like
straight auto tune and Bane voice,
and then like he stops and he goes,
Batman, I told you not to put my monitor on auto tune, you jackass.
Just being so funny.
Oh yeah,
that'd be the greatest.
I told the Joker that this is not funny.
But yeah, it's so great. I would, and then like. It's so crazy, like, how you do... Like, how I do my Bane is different than I do other stuff. But how you do the Beast, I told my wife, even when you're singing as the Beast, you have to pretend like you have teeth in your mouth. Like, big teeth, you know? Yeah. Where he's like, I loved her. And it's like, it's just fun. Bane's a fun one to do. You know?
Oh, Batman, you think it's really funny that I'm in some... What's music video with Chris Brown going, ah, do I howl?
I just feel like if I worked for DC, people would at least laugh.
Yeah.
Not at the movie, but with the movie.
Or at you, one of the two.
Yeah, that's fine. If you laugh at my impression, I'm good with it.
Hey, I'm sure if they put you on the screen and they're laughing at you, at least you know you're probably making some money.
Yeah,
at the same time,
put me on the payroll to be the new Bane, because Tom Hardy's Venom now.
Oh, you think you're funny.
So... All right, so I don't even know where we were.
Yeah, back to Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom.
Back to the Fallen Kingdom. I have a lot of thoughts about this movie.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't want to make it sound like I did not enjoy the movie. I thoroughly did. I think for me, I was just a little bit disappointed just in the fact that it took place mostly off of the island.
No, I was disappointed about. For my entire life, I've been calling them all ISLA. I've been calling them all Isla. Isla Sorna, Isla Nublar, and it's Isla.
Isla, yeah.
And I thought that when I was in elementary school that my teacher would, like, threaten to smack you with a ruler if you said Isla.
Because island or versus Isla?
It's supposed to be Isla.
Yeah.
And now it's Isla.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the frick is it?
Yeah. Make up your mind.
We know it's Sorna and Nublar, and they don't spend much time on either one.
Yep. Yep.
Which is sad. But I will say this about the pterodactyls. Shout out to the pterodactyls and Jurassic World's kind of take on everything here. In the sense of, pterodactyls are vicious creatures. They have talons. They attack you. They can bite. And they'll carry you off. And as they're carrying you to, like, their nest to feed their babies or whatever, they're, like, ripping at you. They're cutting you open and whatnot.
Sometimes they just catch it and they throw you.
Right. So they're sending it into something now.
Oh, you think you're a funny little pterodactyl, don't you?
But I think that we should have a Bane conversation with the Hulk.
Oh, boy. That would be interesting.
Brought to you by Sylvester Stallone.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, God. That'd be so much fun. But, yeah, okay. So I'm with you. I'm with you in the... Okay. If there was never any Jurassic Park movies, there wasn't Jurassic Park 1, 2, or that hideous 3... Just because the three in every trilogy is supposed to suck doesn't mean it should. Mm-hmm. Okay? So, Iron Man 3 was good.
Yes.
So, anywho, Jurassic Park 1, 2, 3, Jurassic World, if none of those existed...
What about the third Thor?
It was... The only good thing about the third Thor is that it created my Hulk voice.
I just had to throw that in there, sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, you think you're funny. Oh, you think you're stupid.
Here's a Snickers.
What?
Here's a Snickers.
Yeah, here's a Snickers.
Go away.
Yeah. No, you shut your mouth. So, I still, every time anybody bothers me in the world, and I mean bothers me, like gets to me. I mean, anytime someone's like a jerk at like Wegmans or something like that, I go, oh, you know what? Why don't you leave? Go home. Come find me. Bring your purse. It's a bring your purse approach.
Yeah.
So, but, yeah, okay. So if there was no other Jurassic Park movies ever, I think that this one was different and it stood alone. And I think that it would still intrigue me to see another one. I think the first 5 minutes of this movie, I'm like, holy mother. So, and I'm sorry, because I know those surfers are all going to get eaten, but that was a great scene.
Oh, yeah. It was phenomenal.
The dinosaur is, I said to Kate, I said to my wife, I said, it's probably 5 times the size of the Indominus Rex, at least.
Right.
So, I'm just, I don't know. I really thought that, I thought that the movie could stand alone. And this movie did what so many movies failed to do, because I saw the first Jurassic Park when I was 7. And now I'm 32 watching the 5th movie in this run. And Fallen Kingdom made me put my hand over my mouth. It made me yell out loud. It made me cringe. It made me grab onto my own shirt. It made me, like, get low in my chair. And I haven't had a movie do that to me since Jurassic Park. So, I like it in the... Suspense-wise, I think it gave me... It was more suspenseful to me than a lot of the other ones.
Okay.
With that being said, yes, I do miss the island. With that being said, I didn't like that they had to get off it right away, and they pulled at my heartstrings, and they made me really sad. And this, and the pier scene, the scene at the pier, I literally thought about Lily, my dog. I thought about Mordo and Cinnamon and Shady, my dogs before. I thought about all of the reptiles that I would build habitats for as a kid. I thought about the frogs I had. I thought about my fish Daredevil. I thought about my gerbil Sonny and Matt. Like, anything I ever cared about in my life, I was like, oh my God, don't let it die. So I just felt like this movie brought out so many emotions in me, so I really liked it. But if you put it up against Jurassic World, I would say no, because the first one's always the best one, because the first one introduced us to Blue and the ability to interact with velociraptors and have them live with you and not attack you. So I don't think anybody's going to sit here and say Fallen Kingdom was better than Jurassic World, but it did a lot of things for me emotionally that not just Jurassic Park movies, like no movies do for me. Like, I can watch a movie and sit there and just be there. These movies literally, I was a 32-year-old who became a 7-year-old again, and I loved every minute of it.
Yep.
That's my best way to say it.
Well, you know, with the downfall of the island, that island to me was a character in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And now that that character is no longer and there's no more dinosaurs on there,
yeah,
it takes away from what I feel Jurassic Park, Jurassic World was built and founded on.
Well, now you can't go back.
And I had mentioned this during the our rapid fire. I feel like the only direction they can go with the future of the Jurassic World franchise now is kind of a, I'm not going to say Planet of the Apes to the point where they're going to be, you know, talking dinosaurs or anything like that.
Yeah.
Not ABC's dinosaurs like we joked about earlier, but you just see the dinosaurs taking over the planet now.
Yeah.
Now that they're on the mainland, I'm having some difficulty fathoming a Jurassic World movie where the mainland is predominantly inhabited by dinosaurs and the humans are like slowly getting killed off the planet or something along those lines.
Well, it's definitely going to make...
Because I feel like that's going to be the future now.
Well, it's definitely going to make... And we're gonna have to talk about the bigger piece and the undertones of that in a second and how it was... this movie became a moral question of what do you do. But the Mosasaurus, the massive being of the water, hands down... I'll rock with that anytime. Don't want to be its enemy by any stretch of the imagination. Kind of the reason why I may never go back into the Atlantic Ocean, but I like it. Now, the dinosaurs, can we discuss the fact that the Copsognathus dinosaur, the little green ones from the Lost World that ate that little girl in one of the scariest movies of my childhood at age 10 and still
very frightening,
family.
Yeah.
They're back. And they, Indoraptor, what is it? Indoraptor, Tyrannosaur, are they're all like at the same time eating one guy. And the Copsognathus are doing it. And not only the Copsognathus are in this movie, but the Pteranodon is in the movie, Copsognathus is in the movie, and the Carnotaurus is in the movie. And all three of these, for all you people that love to make connections, as well as Velociraptor, all of these that are in the movie are also featured in the ride Dinosaur at Animal Kingdom, and the focal point of that is the Carnotaurus.
Yep, end.
And
yep.
I think, and you can tell me I'm crazy, I think that Jurassic World took a shot at Disney in this, because the Carnotaurus comes out and is like, hey, guess what? I'm going to eat you all right now.
Yeah.
T-Rex comes out and twice the size.
Messes him up.
Knocks him, bites him, slams him down, holds him down, and is like, the fight took not even 14 seconds.
Right.
So I thought that like the Carnotaurus, they know who's in the ride at Disney.
Right.
And I felt like that was Universal's way of going, we're down the road in Orlando and our dinosaurs are better than yours.
Yeah.
I just thought that was, because the Carnotaurus, why would they bring that into the movie? Knowing that it's a Disney thing.
Right.
So they bring it in and they defeat it within a half a second. Yep. I thought that was a nice little sting at Disney.
Certainly could be a little Easter egg that they dropped in there and they're twisting them.
Because you think the Carnotaurus is like big and then the T-Rex comes up and the T-Rex is...
Massive.
Yeah, massive to this. The Allosaurus is in this. But the... And forgive me, all you paleontologists out there that might say that I say this wrong. But the Stegomalach... Which is the battering ram.
I think you
ram.
Got it right. That was pretty good.
Thank you. I try.
Oh, Stegomalach, you think are funny or something.
I'm going to... The Stegomalach, to me, he's my new best friend.
Yeah.
Like, Blue and I, we're like ride or dies, right?
Yeah.
Blue and I, together forever, nothing's going to change that.
Blue and Lily.
Right. Because Blue reminds me of Lily.
Yeah.
The videos.
No, I got you. I understood the correlation.
So the Stegomalach, to me... Like, this is my battering ram. This is my muscle, right? This is the dude I send in first before I send in the other dudes. And I got to say that the scene of beating the hell out of those rich, snobby a-holes was by far one of my favorite scenes ever. And I was laughing probably louder than I should.
Well, he was pretty badass in this movie.
I love him.
And I thought it was funny how he had a nice little relationship with Owen in the movie. Owen kind of warmed up to him. And
hey, buddy.
Yeah. That was pretty good.
You want to maybe come this way?
Yeah.
You know? It's like, that's like the Hulk Snickers. Hey, man.
Yeah.
What do you think about coming over my way? So I thought it was really cool, and I like the fact that he got away, and that nothing ate him, and he's still alive somewhere, and I hope that they bring him back, because we can be friends. And outside of that, I think that, I thought it was a really, really cool scene, because he almost seemed like a baby, you know? Like, he was bigger, but he kind of seemed like, I need some direction.
Right.
And then he just went and wreaked havoc and had a good old time. And I thought it was a really cool part of the movie. And again, you know, we're seeing Owen create this connection. The Indoraptor, highly violent, bluish, blackish, yellow stuff going on.
Yeah, a lot of going on.
Scary.
Kind of had a color scheme similar to like a Banshee from Pandora. Yeah. Kind of felt very like Pandora-esque in coloring.
I want to buy a stuffed animal, but I'm afraid it'll bite me. Like, that's kind of how I look at it. No, like, as soon as the Stigmalik, as soon as he was in the movie, I said to Kate at the end, I was like, I need to buy an action figure or a stuffed animal. And I found the Pop figure, and there was only one, so I bought it, and Blue's really hard to find. I found the same one, and I'm going to shout them out because I love them. Barnes & Noble had both. Thank you. And there was a lady when I picked up Blue that she was like, oh, that's my favorite. And I found another one, and I handed it to her.
Oh, you're just an excellent human.
I'm a nice human. So I just put it in her hand. I was like, "Here you go, ma'am." I was just like, "You know what?" And she's like, "Oh," she's like, "Oh my God, you know, he's my favorite." And I was like, "It's all right." I said, "We both deserve to have this. It's not like a you or me. This isn't like Christmas, Black Friday. We're nuts, people." I was like, "There you go." Because that's how life should be.
And then you turn to her and go, but Blue's really my friend.
I was like, you know, you can have Blue's Pop vinyl, but Blue and I are getting drinks later. That's right. We're getting drinks with Bane.
Oh, I'm not playing this time. You guys are ridiculous.
Right.
What if Velociraptor never...
Let's put Bane away.
No.
Put Bane back on the shelf.
Velociraptors never seem to bring their wallets or credit cards.
So, but it's all good. But this movie was a really... I thought it was done well. I thought there was digs taken at Disney. The cops on Athos are still disgusting and horrible, and there's things that look just like them in Puerto Rico. If you don't believe me, go. And dead serious.
Okay.
So, yeah, I had moments. And, yeah, how about the Allosaurus? Allosaurus is in this, and they're not even like... There were so many carnivores in this movie that's like they don't even know what to do with it.
Yeah.
But here's the moral question. We save them, right? We think we're saving them, but there's always some government BS going on, right? Government always trying to keep us down, folks. I'm with you. And in this movie, there's this backdoor money channels, use it for our advantage, make them into these weapons of mass destruction, whatever. So they get them off the island. Not all of them, okay? They don't save my dude on the pier, and I'm pissed still. So they get them off the island. They bring them in. They're all here. Then, again, they're going to die again. There's this noxious gas going on, toxic stuff, and they decide, the little girl decides, to let him go. So here's the moral dilemma that I send to you. If you were in that room, and you had the chance to save them from extinction, would you open the door, or would you let the dinosaurs die?
If I was...
Knowing that you have your son and your wife.
If I was in the shoes of, like, Owen...
Yeah.
Or, forgive me, the main lead actress, Claire. If I was in their shoes and experienced what they've seen and experienced, I probably would have done exactly what Claire did. I mean, and especially seeing the direction in which they were heading. But here's the kicker. Here's the big kicker that I think a lot of people, when they talk morally, what would you do? The technology exists. If they kill these dinosaurs off, somebody's just going to create new ones.
Right.
It's not like the technology is going to disappear.
No.
Theoretically, they could. But
so you wouldn't save them?
I probably wouldn't, just based off the experience.
What if Mason Owen was Claire friends had with Blue?
Well, Blue's a man. So, or in this case, a girl.
Woman, yeah.
Blue's
going to be all right because
Blue's awesome.
Blue had already escaped.
Yes, Blue is going to be fine regardless of what went down.
Right, we're talking about like the Triceratops and the Allosaurus and all that.
But I think it would be a very difficult moral decision to make to have all these animals that were created against their will just be killed because of human ignorance and the situation that the humans put these...
Because we got bored.
...these animals in.
And we needed to see new stuff.
Correct. But... Let me kind of, you know, switch it up here and go towards all these guys that were there bidding on the dinosaurs. Was it just me or did these guys feel like they were all a bunch of gangster henchmen out of a Batman movie?
bidding on dinosaurs.
These men, these rich.
Like, I felt like Bane was in the room. He was probably right there bidding on dinosaurs. We didn't see him.
Yeah, these, you know what I mean? These rich men and women just kind of playing with, you know, rolling the dice. And the thing
they're playing with fire.
And of course, there had to be a rich Russian
monster. Of course.
Because that is the story to tell in America these days. You know, 100 million.
Yeah.
Millions. And they always say the S. 120 millions. It's not plural. It's already implied. Yeah. I was waiting for him to go, $120 million.
That would have been good.
Yeah.
That would have been good.
But I thought it was, I wanted one Canadian to be in there from Saskatchewan. I wanted like the one from Grown Ups, the high voice Saskatchewan, to be like, oh, hey, ladies. How about 100 loonies? Or something like
that.
So, I don't know. I think it was, and I love Canadians, so please understand that if you're from Saskatchewan, I love you too. But, but you're not allowed to say that you love a Russian, unless it's dressing.
Oh, okay.
So.
I love Russian dressing.
I love Russian.
Dressing.
But, yeah, like, he was always the focal point, right?
Yes.
120 millions.
Yeah.
Okay. But, I mean, it was.
Very stereotypical in that kind of a situation.
The fact that all of Batman's rogue gallery came to his house to bid on these dinosaurs. But this is the thing about real life. There are people that would sit in that room that probably look, dress, and feel about themselves very similar. And that entire scene, I would not put past this world by any stretch of the imagination, any leg up, or anything like that.
Especially in the context when we're talking about weaponizing these things.
Oh, absolutely.
So.
There's nothing that I think would stop somebody from doing something stupid like that.
Right.
So I'm going to tell you my side.
Okay.
I open the door.
Okay.
I open the door because the life didn't ask to be born again.
Okay.
They didn't ask to be created. They weren't asked to be put here. They were created to make money. They were a pawn before they were a flicker in the DNA inside of the lab's eye. So for me, they have been used and abused and toyed with and put on display for monetary gain forever. They weren't made to roam. They weren't made to have a second chance at life. They weren't made for another opportunity at this world because of what took them off this world in the first place. By the way, whenever you try to play God, doesn't work out. Reality and in fantasy land. But God, for whatever reason, said no more dinosaurs. Then humans said, no.
Humans.
Bring them back. So,
sorry.
I opened the door. Do I think about children when I open that door? Absolutely. Do I think about my wife and I? Absolutely. Do I think about the fact that you can't go outside and that literally everything you want to do, you can't go outside and barbecue. You can't go outside in the pool. You have no idea what's going to happen. If you turn your back, your child's gone by a pterodactyl in a second, right? And you don't want grandma getting attacked by a velociraptor. So your head is going, this is nuts. But at the same time, they didn't ask to be born. And so for me to kill them, for me to decide to play God in this whole thing is wrong. Like you said, somebody else is just going to create them anyways. But I have this thing where I can't look at a living, breathing thing that's just doing what they were bred to do. They were doing what they were bred to do. A raptor is bred to hunt. An Indoraptor is bred to be a friggin' maniac hunter. A Brachiosaurus is bred to eat plants and walk around and have a good old time. So, I brought them to this earth. They didn't ask me to. For me to take them off this earth is to play God twice. I don't think it's my right. And at the brass tacks of everything, I could not stand in a room and essentially push the button like I'm putting a...
Or not push the button in this case.
Essentially, I was putting them in a gas chamber, and that's too Hitler for me.
So can I think kind of taking that and going full circle with this conversation now that we've both given our side.
Yeah.
By the way,
we're gonna put this poll up. Would you save them or not?
I think it would be. We both are drawing a conclusion.
Yeah. Right.
Sitting in a studio.
Right.
In a calm, safe, quiet environment.
True.
Except for when you're doing your Bane voice.
Yeah.
And drawing a conclusion, you know, I think if we were in that actual situation and we saw the blood and we saw the killing and the death and all that other stuff occur,
yeah,
I think you would be second guessing the decision you made. And it's not to say that you wouldn't be leaning towards what you just explained.
Right.
But I think it's impossible for anybody to say,
well, how do I choose? I mean, I would want to save Blue because I know that Blue has the capacity to be good. So what do? I save all the plant eaters and Blue, and then I kill all the... I don't like the playing God approach. I really don't. And if I'm... I think the person that needs to answer the questions more than anybody is the one that brought them to life in the first place. We would never have to ask ourselves, will we kill them or not, if they weren't brought back in the first place.
Well, those people are no longer living in the movie. So, unfortunately, that's just the problem that man has now in this world that is Jurassic World.
Right, but again, the girl is a clone, and so what is her response?
I'm one of them.
I'm one of them. Yeah. Like, they made me. She's, I'm not supposed to be here.
Yeah, yeah.
But they made me.
Yep.
So what do you do? And
well, I think they both, you know, Owen and Claire, they could appreciate that when she said that. So they weren't like, no, when she went to press the button. They were just kind of like, you know, they could have easily turned and be like, what are you doing, you crazy little girl? You know, they didn't do that. Like, they kind of fell for it. I think they a piece of them wanted the dinosaurs to survive.
Yeah.
A big piece of them.
I think that they wanted the dinosaurs to survive, but they didn't want to be the ones to push the button.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there you go.
So, you know, but I think if we were in that situation, I think we would be thinking, I'm not going to say long and hard, because obviously there was, you know, a joke there implied. Yeah. But in addition to the joke,
yeah,
you don't, they're on a timetable because the countdown of those animals dying. So,
yeah. But the thing is, so you save them from the island just to kill them in the United States.
Yeah.
Or wherever.
I don't know. Again, but here's the thing. They, again, are playing God.
Right.
Because God was going to try to kill them off again on the island. Now.
Naturally.
God. Yeah, naturally. But God also, in a roundabout way, brought them to the United States again, where they were about to die.
Again. For the third time.
Correct.
All right. Well, when you say it like that, at the same, I couldn't.
You know what I'm saying?
So, I know.
Again, it puts it in a contextual way.
You're playing God either way.
Exactly.
You're playing God either way. And you would never have to put in that position if they didn't make them, which is ridiculous.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
She said she's one of them.
Right.
So she's helping them survive.
Because she's one of them.
Because she's one of them.
Right.
So are...
Can she speak to them? I'm kidding.
Yeah, there you go. That was kind of like my elephant from last episode.
My other question, though, is, like, when she hits the button and they're like, no, they're supposed to die. Do they, like, stab her in that moment? Is Owen just like, sometimes you gotta go. Bam. Like, you can't stab a child, but it's not, but this is not a child. This is a reincarnation of her mother.
Yes.
So she's told her mother died, which was true, but she's her mother. She's not her mother's daughter.
Right.
She's her mother. So she's thinking, this is my grandfather. No, this is your father. Very creepy.
Yep.
Very Jerry Springer. Too bad he's off the air, because they could have gone on the show.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of underlying themes to the movie. There's some political tones to the movie. Overall, I think the movie was well done. I just have a problem, I think, with the overall direction of the future of the franchise and the installment now that the island's gone.
Yeah.
I think that's my biggest concern. Other than that, highly suggest going and checking it out if you haven't seen it yet.
Absolutely.
I think you'll thoroughly enjoy it. And it is something new. It's something different. Slightly innovative. Not anything that we couldn't have not predicted, but an interesting twist on the concept of weaponizing dinosaurs. So
it was very good. It was very different. It was very unique. And it's not as good as Jurassic World, but it's more, it's definitely emotional for me. Pulling my heartstrings,
yes,
for sure. So definitely go see it. Give it a chance. My final note on it, there was an after credits scene. Shout out to my wife, yep, because she thinks that, she's like, why are you always waiting after credits? I was like, I'm a Marvel kid. So, but besides that, at the end of all these movies, there's that token, oh, where'd the T-Rex go? There he is. Yeah. And there's this giant roar, yeah, right? I am the T-Rex. I am the king of the jungle, the queen of the jungle, whatever you want it to be. And in this movie, top of the mountain.
Blue.
Looking down at all these
blue
people.
Blue, baby.
It's blue.
Go big blue.
And blue is the one. And instead of like the giant roar, it's, oh, oh. And I was like, yeah. But I mean, blue is now, I was like, blue's the face of the franchise now, right? If you go buy cereal, which I did, I bought a big box of Frosted Flakes because you get a free dinosaur ice drink. You put it in the freezer and you put water in it, and it looks like a cracked egg with a T-Rex head coming out of it. So I got that for free. So I bought that, and blue's on the front. And blue's also on the front of the fruit snacks.
I think the New York Giants need to do like an alternate jersey.
Big blue? Like
big blue.
And have it be a Velociraptor helmet?
Oh, that would be so awesome.
That'd be so great.
That'd be great.
Then maybe I'd watch one of their games. I'm kidding.
I know.
I'm kidding.
Just go back to Jacksonville.
It's all good. I do like Saquon Barkley. So we're gonna flip quick here over to Han Solo.
Yeah, let's talk quickly about Solo.
So
We talked a little bit last episode about
thoughts,
Solo.
Yeah.
I gave my opinion of it. I thought it was one of the best of all the prequels. Yeah. What were your thoughts?
I thought it was more fun and light, and I don't know. I thought it was.
Have one qualm with it.
Okay, go ahead. Give your qualm.
And it's simple and short.
Yeah.
It's not Harrison Ford.
Right.
But other than that, I thought it was fantastic.
Right.
That's it. That's my biggest issue with that movie.
I thought it was more fun, more whimsical, more exciting and
Did it feel more true to the roots of Star Wars?
Yeah, I felt like the whole movie I was on a ride and I'm hearing the music in the background. I mean, no offense to anybody out here. Rogue One put me to sleep twice. Okay? I fell asleep all the way to Darth Vader and he couldn't even like keep me going. So For me, Rogue One was like, why did you do this? And then Solo, I was like, it's not Harrison Ford. But I got to tell you, I was on the ride with him the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
I had fun.
Yeah.
I'm watching the scenes. I'm seeing him with the relationship, and he's in there, and Crimson Red, and what's going on, and how's he going to get out of this, and meeting Chewie. And I honestly thought the movie wasn't too long. It wasn't too short. It wasn't stupid. It wasn't boring. It didn't drag on. There was plenty of action. There was comedy. I thought that this movie was everything a fun-loving movie can be for you to shut your brain off and just enjoy some popcorn.
So
I thought it was good.
Where do you think the future of this is going to go? Because now, obviously, do you think they're going to do more Solo movies? Or do you think they're going to do more like prequel-based, like, you know, movies that have these actors?
Yeah, I think there's a chance that we're going to see Solo again. And shout out to my little Velociraptor named Lily. So I think there's going to be a Solo 2. I think there's an opportunity for that. But I love though. It's like we serve Crimson Red. What a cool name.
I think what we're going to do is we're not going to see a Solo 2, but you're going to see a cameo from Solo.
Well, we're going to see something.
Darth Maul movie.
We are going to see Darth Maul.
You're going to see, they're going to bring back Kira. I believe it's Emilia Clarke. I forget the name of the character from Game of Thrones. She was phenomenal in Solo, though. I thought she did a really good job being the love interest of Solo.
I don't know
if that went both ways, though, or not. I'm not really sure what her...
I do think that we've opened the door. And I think we now open the door to the underground of Crimson Red. And for people that don't know, that are like, oh my God, how did Darth Maul get back into this thing? Darth Maul has been, he seemingly dies in Phantom Menace, and then he becomes this kind of cult villain that people like, right? He's this like big time villain. He's got a big fan base. Why not? Ray Park, shout out, also played Toad in the original X-Men. And I got to meet him. So, you know, there's this story that, okay, well, he died. He got split in half, but he didn't. And he exists in the comic books, and he exists in the TV shows, and these 2-3 years, and all this stuff's been going on. So when they say we're serving Crimson Red, Crimson Red, Crimson Red, such a cool name, such a cool guy. We know that he's now at the point where he doesn't have the spider legs anymore. He doesn't have this, and now he has the robotic legs. He's older, and this was something that's been happening in the background. And this is the thing. This is an ode to real, true Star Wars fans.
Yep.
The ones that watch everything, read everything, pay attention to everything. This is to them. This is Disney saying, I know you love George Lucas, and I know that you think we're just a money machine, but
we're going to give you what you want.
We're going to give you something.
Yep.
We realized that killing off Darth Maul was a screw-up, and we weren't a part of that, but we're going to make this right. And I think that we're definitely going to see Darth Maul. You don't bring Darth Maul back in the last 5 minutes of the movie and I have Darth Maul. So my biggest thing I took away from Han Solo is that my favorite Star Wars villain of all mother-freaking time is back. And you can't always say, very rarely sometimes can you say, that when a TV show ends or a character goes off or movie, same thing, that you're going to get it back.
Right.
But this is my... I'm going to get my Darth... I want Star Wars Crimson Red. That's what I want. And I want the red to be bloody, and I want it to be a dark, dark
very
trailer
dark movie.
And a dark poster. Everything. I want Crimson Red, and I just want an outline with the horns and his head down, and it says, he's coming back. Like, I'm telling you right now, put me on the team for the promo for this. Because I want to be all
over
this.
Red font, everything.
Yeah. I'd be all over this thing.
No.
So that's my biggest takeaway, is Darth Maul's back. So Han Solo could do no wrong with me in that case.
So overall, Solo, big thumbs up. I thought it was fantastic. Again, as I mentioned, hands down one of the best prequels in the Star Wars, line of movies.
Yeah, I agree.
And yeah, that's pretty much it on Solo for me, man.
So we're going to take a step aside here, and we are going to go back to breaking news. We know that something's developing and coming up. When we come back for your amusement, we will tell you, well, we will cry with you about our excitement for Toy Story Land, but we're not there yet. So we'll discuss that in just a moment.
Hey, this is Frank Albertine, the owner of The Fourth Wall, 41 New Hartford Shopping Center, New Hartford, New York. The phone number is 315-922-7770. I always wanted to kind of create my own vision of a store. Basically, that's what I did here was kind of took a lot of influence from these local comic book stores or stores that I've been to in big cities and kind of put my own twist to it. When I thought about naming the store, I bounced a couple different ideas around and I realized, what better name than Breaking the Fourth Wall, because that's really what I believe we do here is we break that sense of reality because we are so different. You could come in here 7 days a week, and 7 days a week you're to be shocked and surprised and see new items and see different things. It's not just comics, it's not just pops, it's not just pop culture. It's everything under the sun for any collector. And you don't even have to really be a collector, you just have to enjoy having something of your own. We have something for everyone, and if we don't have it, we can get it. We carry stuff that no one carries. I have stuff in here that no one else has. I have stuff in here that you're not going to see anywhere else. I plan to be here for a long time. I put everything, that I am into the store, and I try to keep the store ever changing so that it's never something stale. You're never going to walk in here and feel like, oh, I've seen that thing 100 times, or, oh, I've seen that thing so many other places. So the turning point for me was just realizing that I thought I was finally ready to take what I knew and what I know and what I had and kind of put it in just a big location for everybody to enjoy.
Welcome here for another edition of Breaking News! If you're wondering how I'm alive since the last Breaking News update from here on an undisclosed island with Dan Tortora, that's because I am indestructible. Or maybe I'm just hiding somewhere where they can't find me. I hope that they can't find me. Why are we still filming this, guys? Why do we have to do... The cameraman's laughing. He thinks this is great. Well, you may be next. Dan Tortora has gone missing. No, dude, I'm right here. I'm here. What do you mean? Where did you come from? I told you I train the raptors. Sometimes they get a little bit squirrely. I've been dealing with this one
Kono over here, and Kono and I, we just, I don't know, we sometimes we're good, sometimes Kono and I have some moments.
Well, Dantor, I mean, it's not a moment, they almost killed us, it was so crazy!
Hey, no, I mean, he was okay. I mean, Kono, he likes animal crackers, we didn't have enough animal crackers, I know the irony, but he just wanted to have, you know, he wanted a snack, that's all he wanted, he's very playful, everything's okay right now. So, can we get to the story about looking for Eric Bunch?
What do you mean, Dan Tortora? You told us to come here on this island to talk with you about your breaking news.
Yeah, but while we were recording, I totally lost Bunch. And are you kidding me? Kono, I'm not going to do this again with you. Welcome back here to Superpower Pop with DT and
EB.
We have spoken with you about Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, as well as Solo and our hopes for Darth Maul of the future. Bring me a crimson red Star Wars movie. I'll love you forever. I won't love you as much as I love Blue, but I'll love you. I'll love you two steps lower. We're here with For Your Amusement now. And in this spin around, we're going to be discussing Toy Story Land.
Slinky Dog Dash.
It started with Buzz Lightyear's Space Ranger Spin, which took over where Delta used to be, which was a great ride in Magic Kingdom. Then we got Toy Story Mania, which was an upgrade of the Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger Spin. We have them both. Now we have an entire land dedicated just to the characters of Toy Story.
And I think Toy Story Mania was really what set this off into the atmosphere.
Yeah, people realizing the popularity that they only go to Hollywood Studios for that ride.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that ride literally has carried that park for...
Well, it's three rides. It's a thrill ride spinning you around. It's a game, and it's 3D.
Yeah.
So you get a little bit of
multiple birds in that one, yeah.
And what I like about this, what I hope about this, is maybe the wait time for Toy Story Mania will go down. I heard over the weekend, and to the people that read something literally, when they see 270, they go, oh, 2 hours and 70 minutes, which doesn't exist in real time, because 2 hours and 70 minutes is 3 hours and 10 minutes.
Yep.
The wait time this weekend for Slinky Dog was 270, which is 4.5 hours.
Oh, my goodness. That's crazy.
4.5 hours.
And was, I don't even know if Flight of Passage was pulling down that kind of wait time.
No, Flight of Passage was pulling like 3.
Yeah.
And while they got up to like almost 4.
Do you think it's because this is a full-on roller coaster as compared to Flight of Passage? Was there something different?
I think it's because Toy Story has...
such a cult following?
Yeah. Toy Story is Tim Allen. It's Tom Hanks. Toy Story is the toys that we played with as kids with new toys that we didn't play with that Disney... Think about this. We had Mr. Potato Head.
Yep.
We had Etch-A-Sketch.
Yep.
We had Army Men.
Yep.
They made Buzz. They made Woody. But in our brains... we had this. Then they did this crazy thing where they created these characters to go with the characters that we remember in our childhood to, in our memories, memory bank kind of like manipulate our memories to think these are all real. And then they came out with a Woody and a Buzz that you could bring home for your kids. So your child's going to watch a movie while playing with the action figure. And in their mind, there was always a Buzz Lightyear. There was always a Woody. How insane is that?
Always an Army Man. Always.
Disney just like flipped the script
and like,
on everything.
All these toys that we grew up with are like long lasting, and they're resonating with today's kids.
I want Toy Story 4. I want it to be called Toy Story 4.
Because of Toy Story.
Ninja.
Because of Toy Story, Mr. Potato Head will always be relevant.
Oh, yeah.
Slinky Dog. You know, Slinky Dog will always be
relevant. Slinky Dog was the toy that was at my friend's house, and his little sister had it, and it was kind of broken, but not really broken, and nobody played with it.
The Green Combat Army Men. Any kid that watches Toy Story today, if you handed them a bucket of those little Army Men after, they lose their mind.
Monkeys in a Barrel.
Oh, yeah. Great game.
All that stuff.
Great game. Candyland.
Etch-A-Sketch.
Candyland.
How about the fact
How about RC Car? Come on.
How about the fact that a villain smells like strawberries and still makes me want to sniff it, even though he's What villain have you ever wanted to sniff?
Scratch his belly.
Yeah.
Smells like strawberries.
Besides Darth Vader.
I don't know.
You know what I mean? Now there's a land.
I have a feeling Darth Vader smells like burnt flesh.
He could. Or he could smell like...
Or just he'll just make you think you're smelling roses when it's in fact...
Yeah, maybe he can make you think something else. I think that Darth Maul should smell like Ultra Red.
That would make sense.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yes.
Because then I'd like him even more. So we now walk into this world, and I took a camera shot over the fence
when you were down
so
there.
So I got a picture of Woody before, like you were supposed to, and I had fun. But so now when you walk into Toy Story Mania, or when you walk into Toy Story Land, you are the toy, and it's almost like role reversal. There's a giant Buzz, there's a giant Woody, and they have put this Slinky Dog ride together. We see Jesse pulling the lights.
Huge blocks everywhere.
You and I, and everybody else that goes down here and experiences this, we are becoming toys.
Right.
We are going to be living in the world of the toys that we grew up with, the toys that we met in Toy Story, all together. I don't know if I'm ever going to want to leave.
I think that this land is going to appeal to more people universally.
Yeah.
Than
Avatar.
Let me even questionably say Star Wars. Because there's a lot of people that are just not fans of that science fiction Star Wars. This is closer to that.
Well, you're
getting
really
everybody. You're getting everybody, I think, with Toy Story.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're getting, I think, touching every, you know, how do I want to say this?
Because I still know people that are like, yeah, I'm not a big Star Wars fan, or I like Star Trek, or I've had people tell me I never got into it.
I think Toy Story is like the CMY Pop Festival. There's something in that movie appeals to everybody.
Right. That's a good call.
Shameless plug.
I like it. You can be shameless. But honestly, I never thought about it till I thought about it. I had a Mr. Potato Head. I had an Etch-a-Sketch. I had Monkeys in a Barrel.
Yeah.
I had Army Men. I didn't have Buzz and Woody because they didn't exist.
You're right.
But Disney put them in a movie and then put them on the shelves so that you could have your own Buzz and Woody, even though they never existed. But if I'm a kid that's 4 years old right now, I think that Slinky Dog, Buzz, Woody, the Etch-a-Sketch, the Army Men, Monkeys in a Barrel, in my brain, they've always been toys.
What other movies use that formula from Disney?
That is
off the top of your head. That's similar. A similar formula.
That's put something into reality that wasn't in reality?
Taking something from reality and put it in the movie.
And put it in
That's not their main cast of characters.
That's not their main cast of characters.
Wreck-It Ralph.
Oh, yeah?
They took all his video game characters.
Games, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good call.
And
he's about to wreck the internet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Better not mess with our show.
It's going to be great.
He better be good to us.
Let's hope not.
Yeah.
But you're welcome to stop by anytime you want, Ralph.
Yeah, Wreck-It Ralph. You can stop by anytime you want. We'll have, I'm going to wreck him. So, I'm excited. But, yeah, I mean, Toy Story Land, Kate and I are going to try and sneak down, even if it's just for a day.
Yeah. I'd like to go.
We have to get.
In the next 6 months.
Yeah.
We'll have to wait and see. We'll have to wait and see.
Got
to
go.
I know. But I've got a lot going on.
Four and a half hour wait.
It's crazy.
Just make sure that if you're going, you don't go in about or around August 12th because you have a festival to go to here in Syracuse.
Not to mention, you know, probably going around the time Star Wars Land opens is probably going to be nuts too.
You know how
crazy that park's going
to
be?
I need to be there like the night before though. Like, I need to be there ready to go and pounce. Cause I don't
want Star Wars Land.
Yeah, like I need to be like I need to plan a trip. Like,
are you gonna try to go opening?
Like, let's say I have an 8-day trip. I'm gonna go 3 days before, so that I'm already there, kind of like, you know, boxing out. Right, I'm getting ready. I'm like,
are you gonna camp out in front of Hollywood Studios?
I might
be
the
first person to get in, because you know people were doing that for Toy Story Land.
I'm surprised at Disney.
Like, they were sitting out in front of Hollywood Studios, just like they're waiting for Xboxes to go on sale.
That's nuts.
At midnight for Christmas or something.
Oh, I want to see Star Wars Land.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be nuts, because I remember Star Wars weekends, which they don't have anymore, because now they're going to have Star Wars all the time.
Yep.
So, for your amusement, Toy Story Land, thank you to the creators of Toy Story, Disney, and everybody at Pixar for bringing these toys to life, and then bringing them to life, down in Hollywood Studios, and bringing Hollywood Studios theme park back to life.
Yes.
Because half the park was not being used. So, that is us, Superpower Pop with DT and
EB,
hanging out with you. Make sure you listen to all the episodes, folks. We have our dozen of 2018. Make sure you're checking them out. We also have special features and so much more. Superpowerpop.com, episode archive and special guest archive, and superpowerpop.podbean.com. supernaturalnetwork.com. And you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at SuperPoweredPop.
Well, on that note, peace out, everybody.